issue. And I think I've often said, organize around the edges of the Green Party. Get the people who really believe in this stuff to join groups like Huff or you know, other groups that want to. The Homeless Issues Working Group, I would say, of the Green Party is now, I think, a good group again. They're not spending their time trying to purge people like myself and Becky. They're more concerned about, you know, the issues again, and I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, like purge the truth tellers, huh?
Well, you know, under people like Lydia Blanchard and others, there was a concern that, you know, we were going to offend the city council, and, you know, she didn't like the idea that we were being so sarcastic, and that was considered anti-green, and I mean, it's really kind of it was a strange situation. But now it's become so clear that even after a year, these city council members are pretty much as bad as they were, if not worse than ever. And we have this horrible election coming up. We're going to get a choice between the bad and the worse.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your day. It's a beautiful day. As we enjoy our day, then they're killing the innocent people in Palestine.
That's correct.
Amen, brother. Bye.
Bye-bye.
But you can have your say about all that on Free Radio Santa Cruz. 427-3772 is the number to call. 427-3772. You're tuned to 96.3 FM. Free Radio Santa Cruz, and speaking of Palestine, perhaps a little song might be appropriate here.
Give me a T.
T.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an N.
M.
What's that spell?
Treason.
What's that spell?
Treason.
One more time.
Treason.
You're all going to get arrested. My name is John Riley. I'll have your ear only a while. I left my dear home in Ireland. It was death, starvation, or exile. When I got to America, it was my duty to go. Enter the army and slog across Texas to join in the war against Mexico. And it was there in the pueblos and hillsides that I saw the mistake I had made. Part of a conquering army with the morals of a bayonet blade. And there amidst all these poor dying Catholics, screaming children, the burning stench of it all, myself and 200 Irishmen decided to rise to the call. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We marched neath the green flag of St. Patrick, emblazoned with Erin Gobra, bright with the harp and the shamrock, and Libertad para Mexicana. Just 50 years after Wolf Tone, 5,000 miles away, the Yanks called us a legion of strangers, and they can talk as they may. But from Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We fought them in Matamoros, where their volunteers were raping the nuns. In Monterrey and Cerro Gordo, we fought on as Ireland's sons. We were the red-headed fighters for freedom, amidst these brown-skinned women and men. Side by side, we fought against tyranny, and I dare say we'd do it again. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and said we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. Fought them in 5 major battles. Churubusco was the last. Overwhelmed by the cannons from Boston, we fell after each mortar blast. Most of us died on that hillside in the service of the Mexican state. So far from our occupied homeland, we were heroes and victims of fate. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side.
And that was David Rovix again, from the same album, good album, called Living in These Times. If you want to get his album, you can check his website, www.davidrovix.com, www.davidrovix.com. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norse. This is Bath Robespierre's Broadsides, Civil Rights for Homeless and Poor Folks, and everybody, actually. Start at the bottom up, and it's the best way to go. Give us a call at 427-3772 if you have any thoughts on anything you've heard. We've been talking about the Green Party Assembly yesterday. Hard work done by the grassroots Greens has resulted in several victories at the Green Party Assembly. A petition, which I'm going to read you, was actually passed verbatim. And it's somewhat, I say watered down, but it's a somewhat altered petition based on something I wrote about 5 months ago, which they didn't take any action on, or they simply dismissed. That could be said because it was not presented in a timely fashion through their process of putting it on the agenda at the steering working group. They have kind of a rather arcane process, but I suppose it's accessible, and I have to say it is accessible, certainly through those who know how to work the levers and the gears, as activist Thomas Levitt does. I'm going to read this. It was passed, and so it's now part of the Green Party. It should be posted on the website soon. If Paul Franklin does that, I'm assuming he will. Whereas the platform of the Green Party of California specifically calls for appeal all laws that criminalize any facet of homelessness or helping the homeless, and abolish anti-sleeping laws, especially in areas which don't have adequate open space, shelter, and sleeping areas for the homeless, as stated at http://, and there's the homeless, the Green Party website. Two, whereas the City Council of Santa Cruz has failed to effectively address issues of homelessness. Three, whereas the City Council has failed to follow through in its June 27, 2000 direction to the City Manager and Homeless Services Center to investigate vehicular and outdoor camping spots on private property. Four, whereas the City Council has failed to discuss, consider, or implement in any substantial way the 32 separate recommendations of its own Homeless Issues Task Force. 5, whereas 1,000 to 2,000 people have no legal place to sleep as there are less than 165 spaces on the floor available through the Interface Satellite Shelter Program and the National Guard Armory, most of which will disappear on April 15th when the armory closes, a crisis which is compounded by the fact that the armory's 100 spaces are now unavailable to those without California picture IDs as a result of the so-called War on Terrorism. Whereas the City Council failed to address the existence of the Camp Paradise community in any substantial way, letting this, quote, problem be solved by winter flooding, and didn't require staff to set up an evacuation plan to assist residents in removing possessions and equipment from the riverbank, and whereas seven City Council members previously endorsed by the General Assembly of the Green Party of Santa Cruz have failed to address the issues of the sleeping and camping bans in a manner consistent with the positions they took when being interviewed for the Green Party endorsement, therefore, the Green Party of the County of Santa Cruz encourages all Green Party members come to meetings of the Santa Cruz City Council and urge the City Council to take immediate action to provide a safe and legal place for all residents of the city to sleep, including but not limited to a legal place for homeless citizens to temporarily camp and for vehicularly housed people to park their vehicles at night. And therefore, too, as a member of the Green Party, the Green Party of Santa Cruz County declares its solidarity with the homeless residents of the city of Santa Cruz and will work in coalition with other groups to develop an alternative community-based response to the crisis faced by homeless residents. So it passed all that, and it didn't pass number 3 and 4, which it actually passed part of them and postponed part of them, so it hasn't actually turned them all down. 3 and 4 said, this was a petition being circulated, and it was written sort of as an individual thing, but it meant for the entire Green Party. As a member of the Green Party of Santa Cruz County, I support the use of nonviolent direct action to highlight the crisis faced by unhoused residents of the city of Santa Cruz and the daily stress placed on lower-income residents by the lack of affordable housing, and particularly support exploration of such alternatives at the upcoming Right to Sleep Summit May 3rd to 4th, with an eye to effective summer grassroots community campaign to finally end the city's shameful camping and sleeping bans. That didn't get passed. Instead, just a support for the Right to Sleep Summit got passed, and a donation, as I said, of $50, generous donation. And then 4, this also was not passed, but there was some discussion of the accountability process generally. The Green Party of Santa Cruz calls upon the General Assembly, formally withdraws from the aforementioned council members who were endorsed any those endorsements, and reiterates any future candidate seeking the endorsement of this body must formally commit to revocation of the sleeping and camping ban. So again, they're not holding their party officials accountable yet. Hasn't happened yet. But it was discussed and it will be discussed again. It also didn't support direct action yet. That was not discussed. I assume that may be put on the agenda for the next meeting. If you want information about this, again, leave a call at 423-HUFF. You can probably call Thomas Levitt directly on that, and his number is 425-3646, for the purposes of getting in touch with him around the Green Party. He is kind of spearheading this campaign. He was a member of the Homeless Issues Task Force before it was disbanded. He was an activist involved with the FAST that David Silva orchestrated in the spring of 2000, and there was an earlier FAST actually the year before, as I understand it. And he has been a member of HUFF for the last 3 or 4 months, trying to do what the Green Party has not been doing, and now apparently getting the Green Party at least starting to talk about these things. And so that's certainly a positive thing and a good thing. Of course, we need to do is get them to sign on to the lawsuit against the City Council's deprivation of basic civil rights at City Council. And the reason that's important is because if the City Council can intimidate people at the centers of power, they can certainly intimidate people on the edges of power. And that has to be stopped. That's the reason I and these attorneys filed this lawsuit against the Santa Cruz City Council's in this sort of rather colorful and rather eccentric Heil Krohn episode that happened on March 12th, where as I've mentioned many times since, I raise my arm in a fascist salute, a silent fascist salute, after Krohn did his thing by cutting off oral communications for Susan Zeman, And he had me arrested because I wouldn't leave the chambers after he insisted that be done because Councilmember Fitzmaurice gave the order, and Crone followed his Führer Fitzmaurice on this issue. It has to be said, kind of as an update, that, I mean, the Green Party needs to sign on to this kind of a lawsuit. Individual members of the Green Party have to, but more important, you out there listening, you actually have a very important role to play here. And I've mentioned this before, but it's going to be particularly important in the next week because that is our window. In the next week, I and the attorneys who are working on this case have to prepare declarations about times that the City Council has chilled free speech. And what that means is, if you can remember any occasions, not even where you personally were told sit down or you can't come up here, but you observed something that made you feel less able to speak at City Council. And you could have observed it on the television watching. You needn't have to have been there present personally. It wouldn't be good enough to say that you heard about it. But if you saw it, or if you were present, or if it happened to you, all of those things are something we want you to call in and essentially sign a statement of the effect of, I felt chilled by this. You don't have to say I was arrested, because you might not have been arrested. You don't have to have been told to leave the council chambers. But if you saw things, heard things, or experienced things that were essentially part of a pattern of violation of the rights of activists and violation of the rights of the public, this is the time, if there was ever a time, for you to speak up. And the way to speak up is call the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you. And this doesn't have to be something having to do with homeless civil rights. It could have to do with anything at the City Council where they cut you off unfairly, or you saw them cut somebody else off unfairly and felt, what's the point of going to this body if they're going to be doing this kind of thing? Or wasn't that unfair? If you had that thought, then you should get in touch, because we need ordinary people to do this in some numbers and to persuade a federal court that they need to issue an injunction that says Fitzmaurice's decorum rules may be nice, but the First Amendment is nicer. And the City Council will not be enforcing these rules about tasteful speech. They will first of all and foremost be enforcing the Constitution of the United States in that body. If somebody is actually disrupting a meeting or threatening a council member or refusing to allow business to proceed, then that's another matter. That is a criminal violation. And of course, anybody and the police officer there would arrest someone for doing it simply based on the fact that it's criminal behavior. But this is a public forum. This is a situation where you are at the center of the city government. Your voice should be audible to the community. If they are shutting it down, that has to stop. And actually, I was very heartened to hear the response I got when I went on KSCO on Friday. For those of you who didn't know, because I didn't tell you, that's my mistake. I was on KSCO on the Steve Hartman show, who does a show from 12 to 1 on 1080 AM KSCO, which is a station that does a lot of censoring itself. They don't let you, of course, you can't say fuck, piss, shit, fit, motherfucker, cocksucker, and tits. That's fine. But you also can't use the words Free Radio Santa Cruz, or they'll cut you off. And they'll cut you off if you disagree too rationally or vigorously with city council members in debates. That's happened to me when I was debating Mayor Kennedy back in 1994. And also, of course, they've muzzled people there on issues of Palestine and so forth, because they're very, very pro-Israeli government. KSCO is a right-wing station. And as a right-wing station, there are a lot of people who have had problems with the city council from the right. They, too, have the right to speak at city council and should have the right to speak. And they should be respected not for what they say, but for their right to say it. And that became an issue, and that's the reason Steve Hartman, who I know from years ago, when he was running for city council way back in 1988, and I was doing mass protests at City Hall on homeless civil rights issues, and Jane Immler was running a campaign. She was a homeless activist who was running for city council as well. Hartman is now has a show every weekday from 12 to 1, which mainly, I probably disagree with 80% of his opinions. But we're still friends, and who knows, I may call him to talk on the air on this show, if enough of you don't call in. And he He invited me on the show, and not only had me from 12 to 1, he let me go to talk till 1:30. We had so many calls, and it was a subject he felt was so important. And he suggested, and it was a good suggestion, that we get the tape, the videotape of my being arrested for this very innocuous gesture that I made, and my insistence on being allowed to stay in city council, even if Councilmember Fitzmaurice didn't like me and didn't like the gesture. That was the basis for a 5.5 hours in jail and exclusion from a council meeting. That's so outrageous, and visually it is so effective to see this clip of tape, which if you haven't seen it, I'm going to give you the website in a moment, so grab a pencil and go to the website, that it should be given broader circulation at the TV media level, and we're going to try to find a way to do that. There's been a blackout on the lawsuit, and the lawsuit will be blacked out until we drag the city council into court, they have to respond within 20 days of March 26th, and that time will be up, I believe, Monday or Tuesday, tomorrow or the next day. So at that point, we'll know how they're responding. They're probably going to demur, which means they're going to claim that there's no basis for what we're doing, or there's some problem in our indictment, some problem in our cause of action. We'll find out what the story is, and I'll be giving you the details on this on Thursday when Bathurst Pierce Broadsides returns from 6 to 8 in the evening. But until that happens, when they do return their reply, that is when we have a limited period of time to get together all your statements, anytime you've either been repressed by the council or felt repressed. And it doesn't have to be somebody getting shot in front of your face or slapped or arrested. It can be someone treated rudely. It can be somebody treated in a fashion that we felt was questionable. If you saw, and you don't have to remember the exact date, call in and we'll help you find that time and we'll help you sign a statement. It's very important that we get a lot of these statements to get to the federal court to show that it's not just one or two malcontents who are concerned, although the rights of one or two people are important, don't get me wrong, but that it's a general pattern and practice. So, 423-HUFF. 423-4833 is the number to call. The website for seeing this whole incident as well as reading the lawsuit is www.santacruz, one word, small letters, Santa Cruz, C-A-N-T-A-C-R-U-Z, dot indymedia, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, indymedia.org. www.santacruz.indymedia.org. And if you have questions about this, you want to help out with this, or if you have information to give us, and we really beg you to call in, I beg you to call in, and other people working with us, I think, feel the same way, 423-4833. Give a call. You can also call this station if you want to talk about the issue, 427-3772. That's the lawsuit, first federal lawsuit ever on a First Amendment ground against the Santa Cruz City Council going to federal court for the Heil Krohn incident, as I call it. So again, summing up, the Green Party yesterday passed essentially a petition that said end the sleeping ban, which it already had done years before, but got a little more specific and went through some particulars that I read. It also approved the mission statement of its homeless issues working group, which is not some fancy stuff about homelessness and housing. It simply says go to the website of the Green Party and consider what they say about criminalizing the homeless. And that's what it's all about. It said our mission statement is what's already stated there. We're not going to spend 2 years arguing about a mission statement. And that was a relatively brilliant move by activist Becky Johnson and accepted by the Homeless Issues Working Group and accepted by the Green Party Assembly on Saturday. And as I said, they endorsed the summit. They gave some money. And they also said that next month, they're going to be talking about accountability for Fitzmaurice. And not specifically for Fitzmaurice, but for all city officials who would be Fitzmaurice and Porter at the moment. Porter's not a Green Party member, but he was endorsed by the Green Party after elaborate promises and questions, and then, of course, he went and broke his word. And broke his word not just to them, but to me and others, as politicians do. But that doesn't make it any less contemptible or any less dangerous or any less in need of censure. And that's, I think, what we want to try to get here, is a censuring process, and also a process of direct action for the Green Party and other groups. So I also have in front of me a piece of first-class mail from Superior Court, which reached me on Friday, actually Thursday night after the show. It's a courtesy notice. It says that I have been cited for a violation of obstructing movement on the sidewalk. And the date of the violation was either January 3rd or March 1st. It has to have been January 3rd because although there was no such violation on that date, I was arrested for obstructing movement on the sidewalk on January 30th. So this is either a misprint. But the interesting thing about this citation is if I cough up $81, that'll end the matter. And of course, it'll be a cold day in hell before I do that. I will not be coughing up any money. In fact, we will be suing the city for money if I can get attorneys to take this case. And again, the issue is a very simple one. It's, do you have the right to set up a table on the sidewalk if a merchant nearby doesn't want you there? And if the police and the city attorney want to collude with that merchant? And the answer has to be, that's none of the merchant's business. And if the merchant wants to use the police in that fashion, that kind of illegal conspiracy cannot be allowed to stand. And that kind of use of the police department cannot be allowed to stand. If a police officer, a sergeant, as in this case Sergeant Baker, was the sergeant involved, wish to proceed in this manner, they're abusing their office and they need to be held civilly liable. And I got to win the ticket. Actually, it's an infraction, so we're going to, if I proceed with this, and again, it depends on whether the attorney who offered to do this is still willing to do it, then we'll take them to court, federal court, not state court, because the state courts are stacked with people like Kangaroo Tom Kelly, as I call him. He's a sweet guy, nice guy. I say hello to him when I see him. But he somehow feels that it's okay to have a law that criminalizes people who sleep at night because, don't you know, they can sleep during the day. That was his rationale for upholding the constitutionality of this law in 1997 when attorney Kate Wells took Dan Hopkins' case to court. Outrageous, preposterous, and probably reversible if we had the resources to proceed. We didn't really have the resources, so we didn't proceed. But you don't want to go after these cases in state court. You're going to go after them in federal court because you're more likely to get a fair shake in federal court. They take these matters more seriously there. Not always, of course, but hopefully in the 9th District, we'll get a good judge in San Jose. So I'm going to be going in to make sure that that this ticket isn't a mistake. It could be a mistake, and they could withdraw it again. I had understood it was withdrawn and that they dropped this whole issue. But if they haven't, I'll be setting up my table in front of New Leaf Market again, not just around the issues of Yuppie Planter, which to me is pretty straightforward. People know about it. I'll mention it every so often. But my issues now are going to be the issues of getting people to sign on to the broader lawsuit against the city council, not as a party, but just as a person who's had some bad experiences and wants to testify to that, as well as I'm concerned, frankly, about war and peace and how the Santa Cruz community is addressing it or not addressing it, as well as the martial law that we're under, so to speak. It's not, you know, I mean, obviously it's not formal martial law, but the kinds of repressions and restrictions that we're suffering under, and the silence, the deafening silence of the Santa Cruz City Council on this issue. So I'm probably going to be doing that sometime in the early next week, although my main job is getting this lawsuit together around the Santa Cruz City Council. I'm going to be working on that. We have a caller.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hi, Robert.
Hey, John.
I just wanted to say I heard you on the KSCO radio the other day, and that was a pretty good show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to reiterate something that was said on the KSCO and also make a couple of corrections.
Okay.
One part of the show did go over, and I was actually there and I witnessed this myself, the incident with Mrs. Herbert, who was admonished that she was out of order for attempting to discuss with the mayor an issue about, you know, whether her tenant was feeling harassed by the mayor having him come on the property unannounced.
This was at the last city council meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically she attempted to discuss this during her 10-minute rebuttal of the Heritage Tree Removal Negative Declaration and was admonished by Sugar that she was out of order, and Kennedy called a 5-minute recess.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely consider that to be some kind of a chilling effect on
And you'd be willing to sign on to testify to that in federal court?
Right.
Okay.
And I also wanted to go over the fact that KSCO did distort the picture a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and that they quoted Keith Sugar out of context, that he was making a remark about how he didn't have a problem with using police power to regulate what property owners do with their property. And then the next part of his sentence, which was cut off by KSCO, basically went on to say that he agreed with the idea that the tree should be removed.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point that out.
But wasn't the issue, though, whether the mayor could, walk onto somebody's property and bring along people uninvited, too?
The main discussion that they were having was, were they going to vote, to override the Planning Commission and some other commissions with regard to removing the tree?
And I guess
that was what they were discussing.
Right.
And Keith Sugar signed on to supporting the motion to uphold what the previous commissions had already decided, that the tree should be removed.
Right. Good point. I mean, the issue, though, for us, of course, and in this context, is whether this woman who was trying to make her presentation was inappropriately cut off, intimidated, and then the entire process aborted by having the council recessed. And is it accurate to say that they then did not resume the hearing but postponed it for a couple of weeks?
No, they finished their discussion.
They did? Okay.
That's the other part that wasn't discussed on KSCO, is they, they're running around like chickens with their head cut off saying, oh my God, they're going to let the tree fall on somebody's house. And they didn't tell you that the council voted 5-2 to remove the tree.
I see. Did the woman get a chance to finish her presentation?
Yeah, after the recess, she went back there and finished her presentation.
Did she say anything more about Crone and walking on her property?
Later on in the discussion, she did reiterate her request that they not show up on the property without written permission, and she was not ruled out of order at that point. But that was further on in the discussion when she had another chance to do another rebuttal.
She did, however, have to consider that she might be ruled out of order, told to stop, had another recess declared, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Well, that's good news to at least to know, that at least one person is calling in around this issue, John. I know that you're also a member of the...
There's the issue of James May presenting the lawsuit himself. He was ruled out of order during Rural Communications.
Correct, and I know that I was ruled out of order as I tried to... a speaker in advance of me was ruled out of order when we were trying to present the Golden Potty Award, or was it the Pie and the Pusser Award, to City Council at Oral Communications for anti-homeless laws. There is a history of councils deciding some things are just inappropriate for council based on the fact that they'd embarrass them too much, or the content is something they don't want the public to know about, or they don't feel it's appropriate for whatever reason. And that, of course, is a judgment call that it's not up to them to make. During oral communication, you get to talk about anything you want. You can talk about the color of the sky if you want. It's kind of a waste of your time, but you got your 3 minutes,
Yeah.
Or should have.
That's all I wanted to discuss for now.
Any upcoming meetings we should know about? I know you've been involved with the
Progressive Federation All People's Coalition meeting is not happening today because we had the All People's Coalition meeting. It was actually a tribunal in Oakland yesterday.
Did you hail Mayor Crone before the tribunal? Or?
No.
I see.
But it was interesting to see the different points of view there. I'll say that much about it at this point. Not all of them I agree with. But basically, they just were charging the United States government with terrorism and genocide and ethnic cleansing. That part I agree with, but the parts I don't agree with are some of the people's responses to that, which... they acknowledged that nonviolence is a good idea, but some people were a little bit out there in their rhetoric saying, I'm prepared to, face my maker or whatever
mm-hmm.
when the time comes for a real showdown with the government or something. And I thought that was inappropriate
mm-hmm.
to go on like that.
Right.
They should focus on the fact that the labor movement won our right to a weekend without firing a shot, and that I know that there's different opinions about what happened with the Vietnam situation. Did the United States get their ass kicked in Vietnam, and that's the real reason why they left, or was it all the protests in Washington that were nonviolent that did it?
Or both.
Both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think Mm-hmm. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, and
sure.
Keep us advised.
Right.
All right.
And phone lines again are open, 427-3772 if you want to call in. I will be advising everybody as to whether there's going to be another trial. This was the second of three recent arrests by Butchie Baker where he handcuffed and took me away. This obstructing the movement on the sidewalk case involving Yuppie Planter. And that's, as I said, come back to me as a ticket. We'll see if this is an error by the city attorney, though I've already requested information from the city attorney on Friday and didn't get a call back. Sometimes John Barisoni is pretty good about returning calls to me. I, much as I disagree with him, much as I'd like to see him in private life, or perhaps doing legal work for civil rights groups rather than for the city and defending their nonsense, I've called for his resigning or being fired or whatever you will. As an individual, he's a nice guy, and I do appreciate his frequently his speedy responses to me. Not always, but that happens. When it does, I am pleased. I was going through some old tapes the other day, and I ran across a tape which I think has some interesting value. Back in 1988, way back in 1988, there was actually the largest field of city council candidates that I might have been in the history of Santa Cruz, but certainly it's been ever since then. I think there were 14 or even 18 candidates running for, it was three council seats, which is quite a number of candidates. I think it was 14 candidates for three council seats. And one of those candidates was actually Steve Hartman. Another one was Jane Larson Bear, now a Beach Flats activist. Another one was Jane Immler, who was a woman whose hunger fast created the River Street Shelter, created the Cedar Street Cold and Rainy Night Shelter in 1985. She's a historic and vital figure and a proof that civil disobedience and mass protest actually does things even when Marty Wormhout doesn't want them done. And Marty Wormhout was then on the city council and trying to block stuff, just as now she's on the Board of Supervisors and trying to block things and has been for quite a while on homeless civil rights issues. So what I wanted to do was that we, in the fall of 1988, about a month before the election, we held a forum on the camping ban. And we were talking, I think, about different aspects of the camping ban, including the sleeping ban, the blanket ban, and the camping ban sections of the entire camping ordinance. And we had numerous people there. And there was a rather interesting discussion that ensued. And though it happened in 1988, it's got some interesting... Well, relevance now. Ed Porter, for example, who wasn't... Actually, I think he was running for city council at that time. He was making statements about the need for a campground. And, of course, once on city council, he's done absolutely nothing to get a campground established. He did make promises about Camp Paradise, which he broke in terms of finding a site. He did pass this watered-down 2 days in a 2 weeks in a park deal if you have $1 million of insurance, which means nothing to 99% of the homeless population. So Porter, and of course he broke all his promises to the Green Party, so Porter is, ironically, though he's maybe one of the most liberal people on the council, potentially he's one of the foremost examples of what power does to well-intentioned folks who seem to be speaking on the issues before they're in power. Somewhat like Emily Riley, who is doing the same thing. I'm going to play this tape, or part of it, and I'm going to be interrupting it to give commentary because it's sometimes a little hard to hear, and sometimes it's got some interesting stuff that needs to be explained, and sometimes because I just like to talk. But you can talk too. You can call in, and I will stop the tape in order to have some conversations with you out there in the community, 427-3772. So think about that. Hosting this forum, and I believe there were three people in favor of the camping ban and three people against, was Ned von Folkenberg, who was then, I believe, the clerk of the Quaker meeting. He now appears in city council, tall fellow with a beard. I think it's yellow, blondish beard, blondish hair. He He is now, unfortunately, a supporter of the Dolphin Lee Project, probably because it's building some nice stuff for his union, and he wants to support union jobs, and also because he may genuinely be persuaded that this project is helpful. But back then, he was a fighter both against the Navy ship, which became an issue in 1989, the next year, and also he went to jail with me fighting for basic homeless civil rights. I don't mean physically fighting. I mean we were peacefully protesting when we were dragged off from city council, and we won that trial. He defended himself ably. He's the moderator of this, and I'll introduce people subsequently as they come along.
Noon. We have the candidates warming up here. Jane,
so I would urge people to move to the front because there's no amplification here.
And Ray Grunike and Charles Gray.
Anybody's remarks about
what we're doing? They're a lot better than some of these. And because of the change in the makeup of the panel, the suggested format that we settled on, just like...
This is Ned von Volkenberg speaking.
Will be three panelists from NBC.
Where's the League of Women Voters?
Is that we're going to ask each person to spend not more than 10 minutes to address basically the issue of the camping ban. And they, while not being confined to that, we would like to understand how their other remarks relate to the issue of the camping ban and how we as a community should respond to them. So, that's not a great deal of introduction. Let me tell you just a moment or two about who's on the panel here. And actually, I'll ask each of them to introduce themselves. That's even more clever. Then it won't be quite as much trouble. So starting on my right, you can introduce yourselves to the audience, and then go ahead and sit down and let each of the families introduce themselves. No, yeah, why don't you just stand up where you are.
I'm Jane
Larson-Dare,
and I'm an environmental artist. I had a gallery in the Soho and in the 70s, right in the middle of the Soho. I was a professional artist, and I helped change the dilapidated neighborhoods in the most fashionable district in New York. And my husband and I came out here and set down roots on Beach Flat in Santa Cruz, which is a remarkably quaint, picturesque area that we love very much. And which we'd like to see the best for and the best for the city. And we're drawn into the race. I was drawn into the Langford race because of being ignored by the present city council so much in our attempts to be heard on our part, issues of interest. So I was asked to run by a group of people that include the homeowners of the area along the river there where they want to put a housing project. And we complained that the Community Housing Corporation, which is the...
Okay, I'm going to have to cut you off because what the intention of this first moment, I'm going to tell all the panelists, so I'm going to limit them to 3 minutes in their introduction.
Oh, I thought you were going
to ask. No, I asked just for an introduction. And you'll have 10 minutes later, and 1 or 2 minutes is fine, and I think people have a beginning understanding. Let's go on to the other panelists.
Okay, I would like to express my thoughts on the camping ban. I want there to be a legal campsite.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Each person is going to have an opportunity to express themselves. All I want to do is to give the audience a chance to be introduced to each panelist first. Then we'll come back and you can begin and give your... how you feel about the campaign. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Introduce myself. Don't
yes.
talk about the campaign.
Not at the moment. Thank you.
Should I stand up? Be included in this introduction?
Just whatever you want. I'm giving you, 2 minutes to introduce yourself.
Okay, 2 minutes. My name is Ed Porter. I'm a candidate for City Council. I've been very outspoken about the homeless issues and problems that we're facing. I'm a teacher at Santa Cruz High School. And also, I have a business on Pacific Garden Mall in Kalmar. I have a computer desktop publishing business. And I'm not sure what more introductory things I need to say about myself. Let's see. I've been involved in Santa Cruz community affairs and politics for about 15 or 20 years. And I think that the city should consider, not confront, but consider the issues that are being raised about homeless, the homeless situation, and have a policy. And I'll talk some more about that as we talk further.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Ray Brunike. I'm typically known as an attorney, and I have been involved in some litigation relating to homeless issues. Currently, I'm the attorney representing the various sleep-in demonstrators, and we have about 20 or 30 cases involving the sleep-ins. I'm also was the attorney on the Egan case, which actually challenged the camping ban itself as it applied to vehicles, and we lost that case. That was a few years ago. And prior to that, I was the attorney for the Scotts Creek community back in the 1977-1978 era, some of you may recall. I'm one of those folks who has a lot of opportunity to do a lot of talking about law in court, and so whenever anybody is so foolish as to invite me on a non-court debate format, I try actually taking my attorney hat off, and I'll be saying a few things that no attorney would be caught dead saying today if I'm lucky. Thank you.
Okay, I want to remind the panelists that the microphone they're holding is just for the purpose of presenting this to the radio, and they need to speak up and project all on their very own for the audience to hear.
Thank you.
Okay, my name is Charles Gray, and I live in Santa Cruz. I would be homeless except for the fact that I managed to build a shelter in an illegal place, and I'm very comfortable, but those days, our days may be numbered, of course. My wife and I, we